I've got a question. How many of you came to the Passover Seder that we had a week or so ago? Did you enjoy yourselves? Did you learn something? It was a great time. It was, we had close to 50 people that showed up for it, which was really great. And then right after that, of course, we have Easter. And with the Passover, we understand that the angel of death passed over Israel and they were saved from the bondage that they were in. And then Easter, Jesus rose from the dead. He became that sacrificial lamb for us, rose from the dead, and we won and have eternal life with him. And the only way that that happens is through the forgiveness of sins. And in the Passover, when we're doing communion on communion Sundays, we are taking the bread that was the Alpha Komen. Those of you that were there and know about it, is the Alpha Komen, which is the body of Christ broken for us, the new covenant of forgiveness of our sins. And then the taking of the cup, which was the third cup, the cup of redemption. And Jesus, through his blood, redeemed us, forgave our sins, forgiveness. And that's what I want to kind of speak a little bit. I'm not going to talk too long today on it, but I want to speak on forgiveness. In forgiveness in the Greek is to send away, to bid going away or departing. Now, in the Hebrew, it's a little bit different. In the Hebrew, it's to pardon, to spare divine restoration of the offender into favor again. So being pardoned for what we did through the blood of Christ, we have been pardoned. We are forgiven. Now, the Bible, there are 430 times that forgiveness is mentioned in the Bible. So 430 times, it's something that's important that we need to understand forgiveness and what we received. Not that we received from the Lord through his sacrifice, through his blood, and his suffering and pain that he took for us. The thing is, the first occurrence in the Bible asking for forgiveness, the very first one is Moses prays for intercession on behalf of Israel, and he says, it is a stiff-necked people, and forever our own iniquities and our own sins, and take us, forgive us, Lord, and take us as your inheritance. Through Christ, we are grafted into that same prayer to forgive us our iniquities. That, if you look it up later, it's in Exodus 34:9. Is where Moses says that prayer. That's the first mention of forgiveness. But understanding David, King David, in Psalm 103, verse 3, but actually I'll start with verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiven me thine iniquities, and the health all healed all my diseases, who rendered thy life for destruction, who can, I'm having some trouble breathing right now, I'm sorry. I've been going through some breathing issues and sometimes it hits me. But again, it's the tenderness, the kindness of the Lord. And David, first thing David does is he blesses the Lord. He says, thank you, Lord. And thank you for forgiving me for all that I have done evil and wicked in this world. Throughout the Bible, there's always the mention of God's forgiveness of us and how he's there. He continues to forgive us. All throughout the New Testament, it's constantly thanking the Lord for forgiving us, for the wickedness that we have done. His blood has taken care of it. In Matthew 9, verse 2, it says, and behold, they brought him a man sick with palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing his faith, said unto the sick of palsy, son, be of good cheer, for your sins are forgiven. Here's a man that has this disease, and he's crippled, and he can't move, and he comes for healing. And instead of Jesus saying, get up and walk, he says, your sins are forgiven. Letting us know his power, the power that he has over sin. And then, of course, the Pharisees and the Sadducees are angry, and you blasphemy and everything. And then in verse 5 through 7, and there, for there is it easier to say, thy sins are forgiven, or to say, arise and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath the power on earth to forgive sins. Then say he to the sick man of palsy, arise, take up your bed, and go to your home. And he arose and departed the house. He was showing that the authority of forgiveness of sin, and the forgiveness of sin is as important as the physical health that goes with it. Understanding that we are the sinners. We are the ones that have broken the laws. We were the ones that had brought about the suffering of the Lord. Through what we had been through, he cleansed us. He purified us. We were undeserving of Jesus' forgiveness. But there's more that he has for us. There's more that God wants from us. He's forgiven us, yes. So, in Matthew 6, verses 12 through 16, in the first part there, through actually the last part, the part of it is in the Lord's Prayer, where, you know, the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have to remember that God is saying that as it is in heaven, I want you to do here too. And then it says, Give us this day our daily bread. And forgiveth our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now he's changing things a little bit on us in this prayer. He's saying, I'm forgiving you. But don't forget, now you have to forgive too. You're the one, you have to come back and you're the one that has to forgive. And then 14 and 15 here, it says, for if ye forgive men their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I struggled with that a little bit to say, okay, is that God saying that if I don't forgive someone who has done me wrong, that he's not going to forgive me now? But what's missing is, and I've done some research onto here, what's happening is it's saying, yes, I'm forgiving you. Your salvation is still there. Your forgiveness is still there. But I'm having a harder time communicating with you now because you've got something in between that purity of me reaching out to you and having that walk with you, that talk with you, that time with you. And now I'm saying, son, I'm not hearing you as clear as I should. There's something in the way. There's something that is still blocking that beautiful openness that I want with you. It's there that we see that it's even the disciples didn't understand forgiveness of others, being pardoned for what we did. Through the blood of Christ, we have been pardoned. We are forgiven. Now, the Bible, there are 430 times that forgiveness is mentioned in the Bible. So 430 times it's something that's important that we need to understand forgiveness and what we received. Not that we received from the Lord through his sacrifice, through his blood and his suffering and pain that he took for us. The thing is, the first occurrence in the Bible asking for forgiveness, the very first one is Moses prays for intercession on behalf of Israel. And he says, it is a stiff-necked people and forever our own iniquities and our own sins. And take us, forgive us, Lord, and take us as your inheritance. Through Christ, we are grafted into that same prayer to forgive us our iniquities. That, if you look it up later, it's in Exodus 34:9 is where Moses says that prayer. That's the first mention of forgiveness. But understanding David, King David, in Psalm 103, verse 3, but actually I'll start with verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiven me thine iniquities and the health all healed all my diseases, who rendered thy life for destruction, who can, I'm having some trouble breathing right now, I'm sorry. I've been going through some breathing issues and it just, sometimes it hits me. But again, it's the tenderness, the kindness of the Lord. And David, first thing David does is he blesses the Lord. He says, thank you, Lord. And thank you for forgiving me for all that I have done evil and wicked in this world. Throughout the Bible, there's always the mention of God's forgiveness of us and how he's there. He continues to forgive us. All throughout the New Testament, it's constantly thanking the Lord for forgiving us. For the wickedness that we have done, his blood has taken care of it. In Matthew 9, verse 2, it says, and behold, they brought him a man sick with palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing his faith, said unto the sick of palsy, son, be of good cheer, for your sins are forgiven. Here's a man that has this disease, and he's crippled, and he can't move, and he comes for healing. And instead of Jesus saying, get up and walk, he says, your sins are forgiven. Letting us know his power, the power that he has over sin. And then, of course, the Pharisees and the Sadducees are angry, and you blaspheme and everything. And then in verse 5 through 7, and there, for there is it easier to say, thy sins are forgiven, or to say, arise and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath the power on earth to forgive sins. Then say he to the sick man of palsy, arise, take up your bed, and go to your home. And he arose and departed the house. He was showing that the authority of forgiveness of sin, and the forgiveness of sin is as important as the physical health that goes with it. Understanding that we are the sinners. We are the ones that have broken the laws. We were the ones that had brought about the suffering of the Lord. Through what we had been through, he cleansed us. He purified us. We were undeserving of Jesus' forgiveness. But there's more that he has for us. There's more that God wants from us. He's forgiven us, yes. So, in Matthew 6, verses 12 through 16, in the first part there, through actually the last part, the part of it is in the Lord's Prayer, where, you know, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have to remember that God is saying that as it is in heaven, I want you to do here too. And then it says, giveth this day our daily bread, and forgiveth our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now he's changing things a little bit on us in this prayer. He's saying, I'm forgiving you, but don't forget, now you have to forgive too. You're the one, you have to come back, and you're the one that has to forgive. And then 14 and 15 here, it says, for if ye forgive men their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I struggled with that a little bit, to say, okay, is that God saying that if I don't forgive someone who has done me wrong, that he's not going to forgive me now? But what's missing is, and I've done some research onto here, what's happening is it's saying, yes, I'm forgiving you. Your salvation is still there. Your forgiveness is still there. But I'm having a harder time communicating with you now, because you've got something in between that purity of me reaching out to you and having that walk with you, that talk with you, that time with you. And now I'm saying, son, I'm not hearing you as clear as I should. There's something in the way. There's something that is still blocking that beautiful openness that I want with you. It's there that we see that it's even the disciples didn't understand forgiveness of others. It's one of the hardest things that we go through. In Matthew 18, 21 and 22, we all know this one. Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often should I forgive my brothers and sisters of their sins against me? Seven times? And what did Jesus reply? Jesus said, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now, if you add that up, that's 490 times. I don't know how many of us keep a tally. Does anybody here keep a book for things that people have done to them? And okay, seven times, well, eight, 50, oh, I'm up, oh, there it is. Now I don't forgive you anymore. I don't think any of us can keep track of, even if the same person is treating you ill or doing something or backstabbing or whatever, that we're going to count how many times. So what Jesus was saying here is, you can't count it. You can't stop. Jesus is saying, did I stop forgiving you? Did I say, oh, hey, that was it. I got 400 times, 490 times I've forgiven those sins. Well, that's it. Now you're going to hell because you're not getting any more sins freed. No. He's saying, I will continue, regardless. I'm still going to forgive you. It's gone. It's wiped away. Jesus says, when I died on the cross, everything was gone. Every sin that you will ever commit has already been paid for. It's gone. He's not saying go out and sin, as he told the woman caught in the act of adultery, you know, go and sin no more. Your accusers are gone, so go and sin no more. He didn't say, yeah, go ahead, you know, have fun. But then after, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to kind of paraphrase. After that, Jesus tells a parable of a kingdom, and the king there is collecting on the debts that are owed to him. And he has one of the debtors that's there that owes him 10,000 talents, which is a lot of money. And he owed him a lot of money. And he said, I can't pay it. He said, well, throw him in prison, sell his wife, sell everything he owns, his kids. That's it. I'm getting my money. And the man fell on his face before his king, and he begged him for mercy and said, give me time, Lord, and I will pay you. And the king had mercy on him. Just as God has mercy on us through the blood of Christ. And he said, okay, it's forgiven. You don't owe me anything. It's forgiven. And the man rejoiced, and he went right out. And he ran across another one of his fellow servants that owed him 50 pence, which is like widow's mites, hardly anything. And he grabbed him by the throat, and he said, you give me my money. He said, I can't. I don't have it. But if you give me some time, you don't have any time. You go to prison. You go until you can pay your debt. And what happened was that other servants heard and saw what happened, and they went and let the king know. And the king said, well, that's it. You wicked servant. I forgave you, but you're looking at somebody else and saying, I'm not going to forgive you. Okay, go to prison. Your debt's coming back. But there again, it's not that God is going to take away the blessing that he has given us through forgiveness, through his blood. What God is saying here is we need to quit blocking that contact with God, that time with him. And what we need to be able to do is to forgive. One of the hardest things that there is to sit back and say, oh, forgive me. Forgive me. Look what you've done to me. It's very difficult because when we look at forgiving someone, they are the ones in the wrong, not us. Okay? A good example. We all know the story of Joseph and his coat of many colors and how his brothers were envious, and they fell upon him, and they beat him. They took his coat, and they threw him into a pit, and then they sold him into slavery. Now, Joseph had some aught with his brothers. He did nothing wrong except follow what his father was telling him. But his brothers mistreated him, abused him, sold him into slavery. He goes into prison. But then he is exalted in Egypt. And when his brothers come to buy corn, he could very well have just cast them into prison. He could have done whatever he wanted. But what did he do? He fell upon them, he kissed them, he loved them, he had forgiven them. Another example is Jacob. Jacob got his birthright by his brother selling it, and then got the father's blessing, and his brother was out to, he said, the next time I see you, I'm going to kill you. Esau did. And Jacob came back, and Esau loved his brother, and he fell upon him, and he forgave him. It's important that we understand that there's something blocking in our world, in our lives, when we don't forgive. And in John 13, 34 and 33, it says, a new covenant have I given unto thee, that ye love one another and have as I have loved you, and ye also love one another. By this all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have loved one another. Part of that loving one another is looking at what someone has done wrong to me and say, okay, I forgive you. And not just saying it. It's so easy to say, oh, I forgive you. But do you really? When your spouse had done something wrong, do you hold that anger, that resentment? Even though you say, I forgive you, but yet you hold that resentment, you hold that anger, you hold that, oh, I don't trust them. I don't believe them. Or do you truly forgive like it never happened? That's the important part. Like in the Hebrew, a pardon. When someone is pardoned, all forgiven. It's like it never happened. That's where we need to be. Has your coworker done something behind your back, made you look bad, angered you? Did you forgive them? Totally forgive them? Even if they do it again and again and again, do you still forgive them? Do you continue to forgive them? Or do you let that eat away at you? I want you, church, to think of someone or instances that you have not forgiven someone, but you should have. They were in the wrong, not you. Again, they were in the wrong. But if you don't truly forgive them, you're missing something. You're missing a better relationship with the Lord, a closer walk with Him. You've got that blocking in between you and the Lord is this anger, this upsetness that you have not forgiven as you were forgiven. We have to remember, we're like in the parable, we're the one that was forgiven much. When you stop and think of our entire lives and anything that we have done wrong, God has forgiven. And then compare that to that one person that cheated me out of that promotion, or that person that was backstabbing me, or they, you know what they did to me? You know how they did that to me? Compare that to your entire life and then say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. We have to repent of that anger, that unforgiveness that we have toward others. What I'm going to close with is this altar right here. There's not a better place to come and ask the Lord to forgive you for being unforgiving. Think of that person or that instance or that group or whatever that you harbor unforgiveness. Think about it. And start to learn to forgive. Because once we learn how to forgive, it becomes second nature to us. It's easy to forgive. And the more we forgive, the closer we are to the Lord. And the more He loves what we're doing, and the more He will help us to be able to forgive the next person. I have a son that had some difficulties with a person, extreme difficulties with this person, and it affected his life a lot. And he is the one that went to this person who had wronged him terribly and forgave him. Not only did he just say, I forgive you for what you, he truly forgave him. And as a result, his walk with the Lord got stronger. His talking with the Lord got stronger. And that was eating him up inside, he was released from. And just continues to grow in the Lord. And I mean, those of you that were at the Passover, my son is the one that was helping with the Haggadah and started talking about the Greek and the things that he's learned and more study. And he just continues to get closer to the Lord all the time because he doesn't have that block in him. You want to be closer to the Lord? You want to have a better relationship with the Lord? We need to get rid of the garbage that's blocking that. So I'm going to open this altar up now. And we don't need people to pray for you. You just need to do some soul searching. Spend some time and say, Lord, if I can't think of who it is or what it is, reveal it unto me and help me to forgive them for what they had done. As you forgave me for the multitude of things that I have done. And I didn't deserve it. I was the wrong one. Just as they were wrong, I'm the wrong one. And Lord, I just thank you for forgiving me. Now give me the strength to forgive others, not only in the past, but the present and the future, that I may know true forgiveness and appreciate even more the forgiveness that you have given me. So I'm going to close with a quick prayer, and then I'm opening up the altars. And I want you to spend some time just seeking the Lord. He will answer you. He will answer you. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this congregation, Lord. I thank you for your people. Lord, I thank you for your forgiveness. For all the wicked, vile things that have been done that you forgave and have wiped away. The things that will be done that are gone already. Father, now I just ask that you open our hearts and open our minds that we may forgive those who have trespassed against us, Lord. And we just thank you that you are a loving, caring Father. Lord, and we just are so grateful and so blessed by you. Let us bless others with forgiveness as you have forgiven us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.